Well, hello everybody, and welcome to our weekly Q&A call here on November 16th. I'm glad you guys are here. Don't have any pre-submitted questions, but you know what? Let me just check to make sure. I checked a little bit earlier, and no, I don't have any pre-submitted questions. So we're going to go straight to live Q&A, and just as a reminder, star 2 on your telephone keypad will raise your hand. If you want to jump in, have a conversation with me, ask questions, get feedback, star 2. All right, so let's see. Becky, you are on. How are you?
Good. So my question is, I think I talked a while ago about, you know, I was trying to decide between the tech and a new, completely new niche for me of ghostwriting. So after weighing it back and forth, I decided that I want to use the lead magnet for the ghostwriting. But when I was going through the, you know, description how to create it, I was kind of stuck on, you know, I don't really have any current kind of expertise that I, you know, to capture, you know, like if I looked at it from the tech, I could say, oh, okay, clearly, you know, I want to try to leverage this aspect of what I do because this is what I like to do. And so I guess I'm just kind of struggling, you know, and I don't know this audience. I don't have a way to kind of ask, you know, somebody like, is this a good topic? So how do I kind of go about coming up with the right lead magnet? Do I just look at what other ghostwriting authors have kind of put up as their lead magnets and do something similar or –
Yeah, so you could definitely do that. I like to do that kind of thing just to kind of get a sense for what's out there, and that will often trigger ideas that I never copy anything, but it'll trigger an idea that's similar, or maybe just the reading something what somebody did will give me an idea for something else that's even different from that. But the approach they took gave me the idea. So that's one thing. I would not worry about, well, you know, I haven't done this before, so I'm not sure, so I don't know. Because, again, keep in mind that what you have to offer them, I mean, you're way above where they are in terms of skill and experience as a writer. So that's the other thing. And I guess the next thing is really a question. Who is your audience for that type of work? What target market?
Well, I think, you know, what I decided to at least start with was kind of really a business audience, kind of leveraging the, you know, the tech experience that I have, you know, to kind of write business books or kind of books about, you know, that people are using to brand themselves, kind of more business-oriented type books.
Okay. Okay, so Would these be tech executives?
Well, I don't want to limit it to tech executives. You know, what I would like to say is they would be business executives, or they could be, you know, business people in general that are trying to, you know, take that next step with their, you know, professional profile.
Okay. All right, so these would be business books, essentially.
Yes.
Of some type. Just business is kind of a general category. So business authors. Okay, so then I would ask myself, well, what kind of, in looking at what others are doing will give you some ideas too, but what might be the questions that they might ask, you know, that they have? What misconceptions might they have? You know, in terms of course, ghostwriting a book or writing a book. Forget about ghostwriting, just in terms of writing a book.
Right.
Because what you want is that intersection of what they want done with what you do. And it's not necessarily somebody who's already identified they need a ghostwriter. It's somebody who's already identified that they want to write a book. So what might be some of the common questions they have, concerns, misconceptions, and then start there. And by the way, Becky, you know, yes, your audience is tech, but I know you have good relationships with some of your clients and past clients. these would be great people to ask as well, even if they've never talked to you about writing a book. Your intention is not to try to drum up business or potential leads there. Your intention is, listen, if you were to wanted to write a book, what concerns would you have? You know, what questions might you have? That kind of thing. So I would still ask people in your target audience, your current target audience, for your tech copywriting work, because there might be
okay.
some insights there.
Okay.
Yeah, and I think you could probably take some educated guesses, right? If you're a business executive, you know, what might be some of the typical questions? Like, well, what would be the topic? Or, you know, what do I have in what do I know that many other people don't? Getting the information out there, organizing the information, selecting the best idea. There's a lot of questions that they're going to have or concerns that you might be able to address. You don't necessarily need to have written a book already in order to help them with that. Because, again, keep in mind your lead magnet is just trying to provide a little victory, a little bit of insight, not to solve world hunger, right? You're just trying to
right.
give them that bit of a lift. It's like, oh, yeah, now this is starting to make sense. I'm starting to see some possibilities. If your lead magnet can do that, that's what you want.
Okay. Okay, great. Thank you. That was helpful.
Sure. Now, do you want to brainstorm some ideas? I mean, I wanted to kind of give you, like, the direction I would take with this, but if you want to brainstorm this further, I'm happy to do it.
I think at this, like, I haven't really, you know, in all honesty, I haven't had the time to, like, think through it more than just, you know, been weighing back and forth between do I stick with tech? Do I just try this out with the ghostwriting? I'm in the process of having somebody design a website, so I'm kind of committing to exploring this whole path of the ghostwriting, and so I just decided to go ahead and incorporate that into that exploration, since that angle of my business is definitely going to require a little bit more of the inbound marketing efforts. So
yeah.
I haven't had time to really think about, you know, exactly how to do this, only that I knew I needed a little help in how to approach thinking about it, so.
Okay. So, but this was helpful just in terms of general direction to move in when
yeah.
you start
yeah.
your brainstorming?
Yeah, now I can kind of, yeah, go through and brainstorming, and maybe by next week or something I'll have some ideas to bounce off you, but right now I'm not quite there.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I'm just like my brain's buzzing right now with lots of possibilities, but they're all kind of random. There's no pattern.
Well, you can throw them out to me right now. I mean, if your brain is buzzing, well, mine's not, go for it.
Well, I mean, one is organizing ideas, you know, so maybe if you can give them a worksheet to help them think through their topic, and then breaking it down into ideas underneath that topic. The other one would be helping them think through the justification for this. You know, like what I've heard from some people, and you know this from going through the ghostwriting course, that all these people want to write a book. But I'm fascinated by the fact that so many people want to write a book, but it just started with that goal or that aspiration, but they left the middle part behind, which is the why do you want to write a book? Like, what will it get you?
Right.
So maybe some sort of, not a questionnaire, but a worksheet to help you kind of define the business value or the justification for this, what the impact might be. And you know, maybe at the end they'll find that it's, well, there's no real value here. So I'll give you an example. I got a friend of mine. He started several businesses, sold them off. He's very successful. He's now the CEO of another startup. And they're beyond the startup phase. I mean, they're doing really, really well. But so he took me out to breakfast recently because he wanted to pick my brain. He's trying to write a book. And I've already told him, like, man, you really need a ghostwriter and all of it. It's a legacy book. He wants something basically has nothing to do with business. This is really something he could leave behind for his children, that kind of thing.
Right.
So something like this might help him figure out that, you know what, this is where this really fits, and here's what I could do with it. And at the end, it might be that there's really no value other than the fact that I want to leave my children something. But he's not being very clear about that right now, you know. So
right.
something along those lines. Another one would be maybe how to go about doing this, you know, kind of the first few steps. Because if you have an idea, and these people tend to be idea people, and they're kind of all over the place, and they're not good at execution, they just throw ideas out there and let their teams just take care of it. Maybe helping them through what will the first few steps be, just so they have something they can follow, they have a next step they can pursue. I mean, these sound like really simple things, but if you think about your avatar. If you think about what this person's like and how they're busy and crazy and just all these things I've mentioned, I think would be helpful.
Yeah, and so maybe just to bounce off, like I like, you know, the organizing ideas one, I like in terms of, you know, when there's that question of kind of like how does it build on your strengths? So I think like structure is something that I'm really good at and something that is so essential, but a lot of people just can't get over that hurdle of, you know, if you don't have the structure right, you don't have the story right, you know?
Yeah.
And so I like that one because it, I think, plays the strength that I feel that I have, whether that's, you know, a book length or a short copy. I feel like that's something I'm just really pretty good at, is getting the structure right from the get-go, understanding how the story needs to be told. So on that end, but I also like the last one, you know, of sort of the next steps in terms of, you know, part of that is it propels them to the next step being, you know, one of the things you need to do is you need to decide, do you need a ghostwriter? And if so, you know, what does that look like? You know, kind of that process. So kind of helps winnow the funnel a little bit.
Yeah, like a decision tree, right?
Justification one.
Yeah, like, yeah. But, you know, like with do you need one, I think there's the potential there for a decision tree. I just created a lead magnet. I'm calling it a decision tree. At several key points, it asks you some questions, and yes or no paths are different. And then at the end, you're able to make the best decision based on your circumstances. So in there, one of the, you know, do you need a ghostwriter? But
right.
I don't know if I'd make that the topic. That could just be one of the questions in the decision tree.
Right.
And how to make that decision. Well, you know, writing skills, right? Your time and availability, commitments over the next year. What do you have on your plate? You could figure out a set of questions that would help somebody figure out not just where to get started, but whether or not they need help.
Right. Okay, yeah, those are all great, and I like the decision tree idea, too, in terms of thinking about the format or the worksheet. So.
Yeah. Cool, and I can send you, if you want, I mean, it's a very simple decision tree, and it's actually for new freelancers trying to figure out where to get started.
Yeah, I'd actually love to see that just to kind of help spur, you know, like, have a more concrete idea what that would look like and help me kind of think about. That would be great.
I'm sending it right now. And what I did, because it was so simple, is I shot a 10-minute video walking people through it. I don't recommend shooting anything that long for this audience, but I felt like I needed to clarify some things because I think it's pretty much standalone, but... leap magnet example. All right, I'm putting it in an email right now to you. All right. Yeah, good stuff.
Great. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Oh, yeah, you're welcome, Becky. All right. And hold on. I just want to make sure that this is the right one, guys. So just bear with me. Because if I don't do this now, I'll forget later. Okay, so that's out. All right. Let's see. I got Tess. What's up, Tess?
Hey, how are you?
Good. How's it going?
Good. So before I get to my question, I was taking copious notes when you were talking to Becky. Very helpful from my perspective too. Becky, if it may not be necessary, if you don't want to only do book writing, but if you want to do thought leadership or long form writing for some of these business executives, if you haven't already done that, then I think some of the things that she's working on could be very helpful for more than just ghostwriting books, which is kind of, I'm not at the ghostwriting books phase, but I think long form thought leadership pieces in my industry would be very valuable. So I was writing down all kinds of notes to possibly do a, you know, a different lead magnet than what I'm working on now sometime in the future for, you know, that kind of mirrors what you were talking to her about.
Oh, awesome. Good. I'm glad to hear that it was helpful. And, you know, the thought process behind kind of coming up with an idea, I think it's good to walk through that several times because it's easy for me to brainstorm some things because it's not mine, right?
Yeah.
So everyone has a hard time with this because it's theirs. But if you hear how somebody else thinks through it, I think that can help as well.
Yep. So my dilemma, as you know, I have this Done For You newsletter program. It's an entry-level program for small contractors, mostly remodelers, who focus on kitchen and bath. That's the topic of the newsletters, always kitchen and bath, laundry rooms, that sort of thing. Very low price point. And that is also my concern.
What's a low price point? The meaning the work they do or the service you provide?
The service I provide.
Okay.
So the newsletter that as it is now, it's six times a year. It's every other month, so it's bi-monthly, and the price point is $250. So very low.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm concerned about, and while that fit a need 2 or 3 years ago when I came up with the idea, what I am concerned about is I'm going to be attracting more clients or low-paying clients where I would never sell high-scale services to.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if I should be concerned about that. If, I mean, and you've done this. You have price points all across your business. So should I be concerned about that? I mean, because I am fulfilling a need in a niche. What makes my newsletter unique from probably a dozen or so other ones that are out there that do the exact same thing as me is that mine's bi-monthly. Every person or every contractor that I've talked to about this program, they sign up immediately because they don't want to commit to a monthly newsletter. They don't have, quite honestly, they don't have the budget, or they don't think they have the budget. So that's why I created what I created. But I am concerned about attracting more of the same that has frustrated me, if I'm being honest.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where I'm at with my lead magnet. Should I be concerned about that, or should I just roll with it and in the meantime work on something else that would attract the nicer clients, the higher paying clients that I also have in my inventory, just not enough of them.
So it's $250 per issue, right?
Correct.
So $250 per issue, and it's six times a year.
Yep.
And you've had, I know you give them a break if they want to prepay for the whole year, right?
Yes.
So what is
it? So it works out, it's $225 per issue if they pay up front.
Okay. But they have to pay up front, yeah.
Correct. They have to give me the $1,350 it works out to be.
Okay. Well, I guess the way I would approach this, first of all, I would think that there is a market for kind of the next level up, different segment of the market who they would see more value in the newsletter and in having somebody take this over and doing an amazing job with it. And as a result, they would be willing to pay more. But I'm curious about the people who have signed up for it already. So as you think about these clients, what do they have in common? Do you think that they're like, you know, they barely said yes? You think it, or do you have a lot who just got it instantly and signed up for it? I'm just trying to get a better sense for, you know, who they are and how they think about it.
Sure. So all of them believe in newsletter marketing, so stay in touch marketing. They all believe in that. Mm-hmm. The majority of them actually were clients for years and years and years, where I would do custom newsletters for them at a horribly low price point. So I mean, they were like my bread and butter 8 years ago. So so moving them over to shared content was a big help for me. And it also kept their newsletter program regular, whereas custom content ended up being delayed. And so therefore, even if they told me that they wanted to do it every other month, we'd only end up getting maybe four or five issues out a year, so it would affect my income. Going back, so that's the first thing is kind of, you know, it was a necessity for me to figure out a way to keep these clients, but not bang my head against the wall.
Okay.
They all are really small staff-wise. So they're stretched thin from a staffing perspective. They're all family-owned businesses. They all understand the importance of marketing. This is not a hard sell for them at all. They get it. It's the right price point for them. But they're not going to turn around and spend $1,000 for a thought leadership piece or a long-form blog article or a white paper. And it's not the same market.
Now you said some of them were your clients before, newsletter clients. But are there any who started, launched a newsletter with this program, or were they all already, they already have a newsletter?
So I don't have very many subscribers right now. At one time I had 10, and six of those were existing clients and four were brand new. I also have another brand new client that I just started last month. He was an easy sell. The other three have dropped off, one because of retirement. He's passing his business on to his son-in-law, and his son-in-law wants to do the newsletter himself. And the other two that did not renew, one was complete financial, and I was okay with him not renewing. And the other one was they thought they could do a better job themselves.
Okay.
So, so it was a constant. Those two were actually problem clients. A lot of angst that for $250 it was a little frustrating. But it's $250 of their dollars, so I have to keep that in mind too. You know, I'm not trying to make light of money. It's just there was a lot of problems from my perspective that didn't need to be there, so I was glad to see them go. So that's kind of the type. That's the type of client I'm attracting with this program. So,
yeah, it seems like they understand the value, but they're cheap when it comes to this stuff. I mean, and contractors in general are really cheap
right.
when it comes to anything surrounding marketing or improving their business contractors especially need to see value. They need to see ROI. They'll pay. They got money. They'll spend money on things that will yield a return. So my next question is, you know, do you have any documented successes, you know, from some of your clients in terms of things that happened that led to new work, anything along those lines?
Yes, I do.
Okay. So that's awesome. I would that's kind of where I would start, because what's happened is basically you're able to get the low-hanging fruit, right? These are people who you made this offer, and these are the people who were at the right place and time, right? The 10 percenters,
mm-hmm.
and they said yes. Now you're running out of 10 percenters, and now you need to find those that are in the 90% category and nurture them until they're ready. And if you can put something together, maybe a couple of mini case studies, that would help you with a justification.
Okay.
And there's two parts to this, right? There's a lead attraction, and then there's a lead conversion. The case study part, I think, could help you with both, but it would help you for sure with the lead conversion part.
Right. No, I agree with
that.
With
a convincing, right? You got to compel
yep.
first, and then you got to convince. So, you know, we'll work on the lead magnet for the compelling part, but the convincing you need to show that you've produced results. So then that way, the $1,500 a year, you know, because we'll do the math, seems like, you know what, that's a good investment. And,
right.
And you know, hopefully you'll go up in price too, but. So, you know, I have to think that they're, because you're national, I mean, this is not limited to your area, there has to be a group. I think you haven't found your sweet spot yet. Maybe some of your current ones are in that sweet spot. I would look at the attributes of the ones that are working out and figure out, all right, what is it about them? And see if you can identify the common attributes as best you can.
Okay.
And that's your avatar, and that's who you want to look for and attract. And then I would price my services accordingly. You know, so if I know, like, Dan and Jim, and these are, like, two right now, and I got more that are they're good ones, but Dan and Jim are perfect examples. And I'm pretty confident that if I were doing $350 an issue or $400, that they would go for it. Of course, they won't now because they know it's $250, but I'm saying, like, if they ran into this opportunity right now, and that's what you want.
Okay.
So I first of all, I agree. To answer your question, yes, I think you need to go up. This market is big enough, the one you're going after, that there is going to be a next level up in the pyramid of lead quality, client quality, and who will pay this. You just have to find them. They have to find you. And then the next thing is, okay, how do you, the ones who find you, how do you convince? You need some case studies that can show that you deliver results, that this thing is a good investment. You know, anything
okay.
you can show that, you know, gosh, you know, just that, a case study that, the ultimate case study for this kind of thing is the one that shows that the first client that we got as a result of this newsletter more than paid for the whole year of newsletters. You know, that case study, that's awesome.
Yeah, I have those testimonials. They go back a little bit, but I don't think that's
the fine.
Issue. Yeah, I have those testimonials.
That's great. There you go.
So then I guess with, let's say I raised it to $350 an issue or even $300 an issue for, you know, this point forward. You think I'll be attracting a different type of client, like a little bit higher quality, so then I could possibly upsell them on their own case studies or their own lead magnet? Because right now, you know, I only have a handful of people, but they, you know, they don't always get the keeping the list fresh. And,
yeah.
you know, they don't, they, and maybe they do get it, they're just too busy. But, so that's the other issue is I would like to be able to, you know, I don't need to have 50 people on this program. You know, 20 would be outstanding for me. And I would hope that, you know, over time they would buy other products from me, to increase their value to me.
Absolutely. I think you do need to think about this like a chess master and
yeah.
figure out, you know, you're not in this just for the renewal income, although that's obviously a very nice thing. It adds predictability to your income. But you're in this for the lifetime customer value. You know, you're in this for the long haul. And you're right. If you could get 20 or 30% of these clients to turn into clients for other things, that's where the magic is, you know. Disney World is not a theme park. The theme park is really a vehicle to sell merchandise. You know, when you start thinking about business that way, it's like it changes your whole perspective. You know, until recently I was going to Supercuts or I don't even know what the place is called, Great Clips. And it hit me while I was waiting there for my haircut. It's like, this place is not a haircut. This is not a hair salon. This is a vehicle to sell product, to sell hair product. You know, so you're right. And this will add predictability to your income. But ultimately what you want is that other business. So,
yeah.
Yes, the answer is yes. By raising your price, it's automatically going to screen some the wrong kind of prospects. Now, it could still attract the wrong kind of prospect. There's no guarantee. It just increases the probability that they'll be the better kind.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. You know, I'm trying to think what else would help you do that, but
and maybe with this product line, Ed, this is all I get. You know, I am leveraging my 25 years of residential construction experience to sell this product. Meanwhile, it's the residual income that I need to work on cultivating new types, you know, the architects, the engineers, the building material manufacturers, you know, all those areas that I am trying to move into because they have the budgets for the work that I want to do.
Yeah.
So maybe that's how I have to, I see I'm talking myself right into this, but that's how I have to look at this is, you know, this is, you know, so if a small mom and pop, you know, remodeling firm calls me and says, I want you to blog for me. I have to be comfortable with saying no because I don't want to work for those prices. I would rather spend my time working towards the other projects that I want to do.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think there's no right or wrong answer, Tess. I think it could go either way. I like the way you're thinking about it. Because you're thinking, you know, what can I, the maximum value I can possibly get, how can I do that? But you also understand that, well, even if that didn't happen, if I had enough clients here, this would be nice. It would be a nice little business.
Yeah. Because I think if I did the math, and I think, you know, even I think 15 or 20 subscribers was close to $30,000 of, you know, it doesn't take me any more time to write an article for 5 subscribers as it does for 20.
Yeah.
You know, really, and I do have a virtual assistant that lays out the newsletter for me. That's part of the service. So there's a little bit of an additional cost, but, you know, she's very efficient. So, you know, it's, the more I get, the more income I actually end up seeing right now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, you know what? At a minimum, you have to raise the fee just because even if it doesn't turn into additional work, there's a higher probability these will be better clients to work with, period, you know, in terms of you don't want the whiners.
Yeah.
You know.
True.
So at 350, 400, it starts becoming a different game. That okay. starts attracting a different caliber.
Yep. Okay.
All right.
Cool. Yep. I think I just needed to wrap my head around some of that stuff. And so, yep, I'm good to go.
Okay. Cool.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. All right. I just saw a question here from Janet. Let's see. The lesson four lists a number of bait piece types and shows title pages for them. Were these supposed to be links so that we could look them, look at the tone and form, or is the description the only thing included? Yeah, so that was just going to be examples. Some of those I'm including, actually. I'm including lots of different examples in the program of actual lead magnets. Let me see. I think those are in lesson four or five. Not in lesson four. Let me see five. I don't see them either. All right. Let me do this. They should be in either lessons four or five. Let me check with Crystal. But I have like, and I apologize, guys. I thought those were somewhere in there. Let me see. Lead magnet. Gosh, I can't even find them in here. I had like, I don't know, 8 or 10 different examples. I thought we had uploaded them to the program for you guys. All right, I'll check into that, Janet. Some of those that are in lesson four are, I actually have the actual lead magnet for you. But some of them, I just, you know, over time, I grab things off the web. I keep swipe files of things for ideas and just examples and stuff. So these are things that I had grabbed at some point just to illustrate. Okay, so yeah, I hadn't answered that question earlier. All right, so let's go back to the phone. I have Melissa. Hey, Melissa, how are you?
I'm good, Ed. How are you?
Doing well. It's good to talk to you. It's been a while since we chatted.
That's right. I've just been typing in my questions, but not today. Hey,
good.
I'm enjoying these longer discussions, both
good.
With Becky
Excellent.
And Tess today. Awesome. Yeah, with Tess, I'm curious how clients find her. I have a friend who is a contractor who does high-end custom homes and remodels. I'd love to put him in touch with her, so... Maybe I'll put
Oh, yeah, let me bring her on.
So I can...
Yeah, hey, Tess, you're on.
Okay. Hi, Tess, it's Melissa. Did you hear what I just said?
Absolutely.
So,
go ahead.
So I'm just wondering how I can direct my friend who's a high-end contractor your way?
Absolutely. My website is... TessWhitler.com, and I'll spell that for you. It's TessWhitler.com.
.com. Okay, great. All right. I will definitely connect him with you because he could really use your services.
That's wonderful. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Hey.
Yeah, that's very
okay.
cool. Thank you for that, Melissa.
Sure. Yeah, and I realized, too, I had some ahas when you were talking with both Tess and Becky. And with Tess, I realized I really need to frame my feedback/testimonial surveys so that I've got more to work with in creating my own case studies. Mm-hmm. And I think I need to frame those questions so that they really get to the heart of showing what the results were in working with me. and not just that, oh, you know, it was a, you know, it was fun, it was a great, I liked what I got, but really more what kind of impact it had on their business and
yeah,
and then
so important.
Opportunities that they had. Yeah. And with when you were talking to Becky, when you were giving her some ideas about how to look at your lead magnet, I took a lot of notes. I wrote down about doing one on common misconceptions. I'm focusing on writing personal brand profiles right now. Mm-hmm. So I thought instead of doing a tip sheet on how to do it, I really like flipping it over and writing about the misconceptions, which in a roundabout way still talk about how a personal brand profile can and should be. But I thought that might be a more interesting approach. So
yeah, you know what? I like that. The one thing I would say, though, just be careful that your title, and this is going to be more about the title. Of course, we'll work together on this, but that it's fine to have, hey, avoid these things, or these are problems, but the title should also indicate that, and here are the solutions. The one I always think of when it comes to that is the book The E-Myth Revisited. The E-Myth Revisited said the title is Why Most Businesses Don't Work, but then he says, and what to do about it.
Mm.
Right? Nobody wants to buy a book about why most businesses don't work, or few people would, but then what to do about it. It's like, oh, okay, now you got my attention. So just make sure if it's misconceptions that we also offer hope in the title.
Okay. That's a good idea. All right. And then also I had a question. I'm still kind of fine-tuning my positioning, and it's more about the language of it. I have clarity about who I want to be working with. But I've got a question about what to emphasize, which qualities to emphasize. So I say that I work with heart-centered entrepreneurs to tell their personal brand story in a compelling way. But I also want to get the idea across that I want to work with successful, established entrepreneurs with a viable business. But,
okay.
So I'd love some suggestions on maybe dropping in another word or something, because I've been attracting startup entrepreneurs, which I do not want to work with, because they often want me to work, you know, for equity or, for a lot lower fee. And it's like, no, that doesn't work with my business model.
This is going to be big.
So any suggestions on improving that language so that I identify not just heart-centered entrepreneurs, but also successful ones, or?
Yeah, and I have a similar issue over here, because I don't use it necessarily in my tagline or in my intro copy, but I use the word ambitious. In my situation, what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to attract people who want to accomplish more, driven people. So sometimes I'll use driven or ambitious in my messaging.
Mm-hmm.
So I have room for newbies, I have room for established, and I have room for people who are beyond established and now have a different set of problems. So I don't want to just attract the established ones. I want to attract all three categories. But what I do want are people who are serious, driven, committed, ambitious, right? So those words may not work for you, but in your case, you mentioned one. You mentioned established.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I wouldn't use the word successful, because in that context, that could backfire. Well, maybe. I don't know. My first impression was like, oh, be careful. But it doesn't have to be like in your headline either. I think this might be the kind of thing that very early on in your homepage, you explain.
Okay.
That I work with heart-centered entrepreneurs who are established. They already have, you know, a successful business, but they're stuck. You know, they're stuck in this range.
Right.
Like they're plateaued. There's a lot of language you can use there.
Okay. That makes
sense. I think
sense.
It's
so
perfectly
spell it out,
okay
spell it out
to
more
say.
In the body copy on the homepage, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you might find a way to insert one word in the headline, for instance, or the tagline, if you have one.
Mm-hmm.
But
I've just
at
been
a
using
minimum,
heart-centered, yeah.
Yeah, but heart-centered, you know, that doesn't really tell you if they're a startup
no,
or established.
Right.
It's just a category. I think you need to be clear about it. I would not shy away from it. Forget what I said about successful. Mm-hmm. I think you can work that in the right context if you explain it the right way.
Okay.
So my 2X project, a couple of you guys have been a part of it. You know, you have too, right?
Mm-hmm.
I talk about established. You know, so you're already earning between $30,000 and $80,000 a year. So you're established, but you're stuck. Most of the people mm-hmm. who sign up for that are in that range and have been stuck in that range for a while. And that's not a bad place to be, obviously. Some people would kill for those kind of results. But you've been at this for so long, and you realize that you have much more to offer. And in many cases, just to stay there, you're working like a dog.
Right.
So... yeah, just definitely be clear. Don't shy away from that. And that, I think, could be a good differentiator for you because every time I see people going after similar markets, they're just trying to be too general.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to take any chances. Well, I want to make sure, you know, because I can help all kinds of different people, and that's good that you're specific.
Okay, good. All right, Ed. Thank you. That helps a lot. Appreciate that.
You're welcome. You're welcome. All right. Good stuff, guys. All right, so star two if you have a question. This is driving me crazy that I can't find those lead magnet examples. I will find those guys, and we'll get them uploaded to the program. I apologize. So what they are, they're a bunch of – most of them are mine, but they're just completed lead magnets just so you can get an idea of different variety of approaches. With this kind of stuff, it usually helps to see a lot of examples. All right. I don't see any hands. Last call for questions. I want to make sure I don't miss anybody. Oh, there you go. Hey, Melissa, you're on.
Hey, thank you. Back to the title of a lead magnet.
Uh-huh.
Do you recommend putting it in the positive instead of in the negative?
You know, I don't like a lot of those hard and fast rules because there's so many exceptions to them. Generally speaking, I prefer the positive ones. I have done a few that are negative, but I believe that in all cases, I've also alluded to a solution, like I mentioned, you know, a few minutes
mm-hmm.
ago. And, you know, the way I would go about it would be, can I find a compelling positive way to spin this? Or is the whole point just to really call attention to the pitfalls and then show that, you know, this is how you avoid them.
Mm-hmm.
There's also something to be said for, you know, the running away from something bad is a stronger emotion than running towards something good, if that makes sense.
Yes.
You know, so I struggle with that because I know that from psychology, yet I've also heard some really good arguments about, hey, don't make them negative. And I think where that comes from, the whole negative one, is just the ones that say, basically communicate, you know, this is why the U.S. economy is going to collapse in 2018. Like, you know, I don't know. I don't know if I'd want to do that. But I guess if your business is based on fear, and you sell a financial newsletter and it's all about that, and you're preying to on that fear, then that could work.
Especially if it said, and what you can do about it, or how to survive it, or
yeah, how to survive the impending doom. You know, but you know, that's funny. I've seen those headlines for decades, like year after year after year. But in those markets, and they're pandering to a different psychology.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're finding,
writing it,
I was going to say, if you find that many people in your market, you know, they've been burned. I don't know. I know in my market, a lot of people have been burned. You know, I can use that to my advantage because I can go ahead and call that out.
Mm-hmm. So do you recommend maybe I should try to write it both ways and see which is more?
That's a good idea. Yeah, and see which one works better.
Yes.
And by the way, we'll work together on the title, so don't feel like, you know, when you give me a bulleted outline of what you want inside of it, that you got to have that nailed. We can talk about that, too. So if you want to come up with the two ideas, they don't have to be 100%
completely fleshed out. Yeah.
We can figure it out.
Okay. I'll do that. Great. Thank you, Ed.
Oh, you're welcome. Yeah, good questions. Great questions today, guys. All right, I don't see any other raised hands, so we'll wrap up for today. We'll get this posted tomorrow, and again, I'll figure out what these lead magnet examples are, Janet, for everybody else, and we'll get them up there in lessons 4 or 5. So you guys have a great rest of the day. I will talk with everyone again on, let's see, when is our next call? We're skipping next week because of U.S. Thanksgiving. And we'll be back on Wednesday the 29th at 1 o'clock if anyone wants to come in and have a discussion, get feedback, or you have any questions. So we'll talk with you guys then. Have a great rest of the day. And if we don't correspond, have a wonderful Thanksgiving for those of you in the U.S. You guys take care.